what's my point? My point is, we just recapped. Abram, I might go in between both, was given this sort of declaration from God, this blessing directly from God himself to leave his land and God will bless him. I did a bit of a calculation on Google Maps to get from where he was in Hanoi, I think it was pronounced, all the way to, I think it was Bethel in the end where they stopped through the land of Canaan. It would have took 276 hours straight walk. So that's 11 and a half days straight walking. So then I went, okay, well, you didn't walk for 12 hours. You probably walked for eight. So a bit of a calculation. I went, okay, we'll give you 2 months. You might have a few stops on the way. We know we stopped at Shechem, built an altar. So I thought, okay, it's going to take him 2 months to get from roughly where he started to where he ended up. 2 months ago, he had a call of God over his life and decided to follow that. Then a great famine appears. We don't know how long later this is, but a great famine appears. I would assume maybe a year or so into the whole thing. A great famine appears and he then goes, we need to go to Egypt. So what do? They go to Egypt. It says here, now there was a famine in the land and Abram went down to Egypt to live there because the famine was severe. I will get my words out. And he was about to enter Egypt when he said to his wife, hold. Abram, declaration of God, seen as the father of all, big man, all of a sudden turns to his wife and goes, I don't want to die. He turns to his wife and says, look, if they know that you're my wife, they will surely kill me because of how beautiful you are. So say you're my sister. And this is the first struggle of Abraham's faith that we see. Do you know, God has just promised him that he will bless those that he blesses and curse those that curse him. And yet he forgets what God has told him and starts to do it in his own strength. And he walks into Egypt and rather than trusting God to keep him safe, plots to keep himself safe. Now we know as we read through the story, that he did. So Sarai agrees. So I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister. So I'll be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared. When Abraham came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw she was a very beautiful woman. So what happens next? Pharaoh takes Abram's wife to be his wife. And for a time, Abram's lie is great. He's living life, he's loving life, he's giving cattle and donkeys and all sorts of stuff. He is living the best life. But it's not the right life that God has called him to lead. And actually, he's not with his wife. Someone else has took her. And so what happened was he dug deeper and deeper into this lie where he felt there was no way out. I'm sure as a married man, I know the love that I feel for my wife, the same would be the same love that Abram felt for his wife. So for me to see her with another man would be hard for me. So I'm sure Abram had that same heartache knowing that he's only living well because he sold out his wife. But God is a faithful God. We see in the passage that God then chooses to inflict disease on Pharaoh and his household because of what he has done to Abram. Pharaoh turns around and says, what have you done to me? Because actually it's not Pharaoh's fault. Abram sold him the lie, but Pharaoh's the one paying the price. So Abram's fear sets this cataclysmic, big word, turn of events that start to really wrestle with the whole of Egypt. Like he is being inflicted with diseases. We don't know what diseases, but I'm assuming some boils and some other pussy stuff that starts spurting everywhere. And yeah, I made you all cringe and didn't know. But yeah, so he's inflicted. But actually, because of what God did, God remained faithful to Abram, even though he turned away from what he originally had said and decided to do things on his own way. God remained faithful to Abram. And he sent these diseases to Pharaoh. Pharaoh realizes what is happening, gives Abram his wife back, and sends him on his way. That's the be all and end all of the story in this part. But there's a few points that I want to make is that it's his fear that stops him living out his faith. You know, he could have gone into Egypt as a man of God. Instead, he was a man of fear. And because of that, there was this turn of events that happened that we can learn from, hopefully, that actually we shouldn't sell out our wives, men. Do you know what I mean? No, but actually, when we live in fear, we don't always walk in the promise that God has for us. Such a powerful thing. When we live in fear, we don't always walk in the promise God has for us. And it's very easy for us to sit here in hindsight with scripture in front of us going, Abraham's an idiot, man. Look, he just heard from God. I mean, for us, it's not even the rest. It's not even a half a chapter. We see the call of his life and then we end up in Egypt. But for him, there was many years. There was life things happening. It's easy for us to sit in hindsight of scripture and go, that's so easy to do. But when we take someone in the New Testament, look at Peter. Peter would have been taught scripture by Jesus. He probably knew a bit of the scripture. He probably knew about who Abraham was. Steps out of the boat in faith. One step. Two step. Clearly focusing his eyes on Jesus. Three step, look down. Soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, fear set in. And we know fear set in because he cries out to the Lord, Lord, help me. And Jesus reaches down and grabs him. It was his faith that kept him walking. It was his fear that made him sink. He could have walked all the way across that water to Jesus, but fear set in. My next person to go to is probably where I want to finish on. Maybe I'll see where I go. The other person I want to look at is Jesus. Same problem, different solution. So Jesus has fear. Now we know from the Bible that Jesus is fully man and fully God, which means he has all the same emotions that we have. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there is fear and anxiety in Jesus. We know that by the way that he prays. Lord, take this cup from me. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to go to the cross. There's a fear that sets in. Now, if Jesus let his fear dictate his faith, none of us would be saved. But because he turned around and said, you know what, Lord, I don't want to do this, but your will, not mine. He let his faith rule his fear. And because of that, each and every one of us can come into the kingdom of God. Because of that moment that Jesus made a choice to not let his faith, not let his fear ruin his faith. And that's the same for each and every one of us. We're at a point now where we can walk in faith. I mean, we were talking on Friday with some of the kids about in China, there are people that are being killed for following Jesus. There are people that are being persecuted for following Jesus, for just saying, I am a Christian. And yet in this country, we can say whatever we like. You can come to church regularly. You can enjoy reading the Bible. You don't have to have it smuggled in your backpack into your household. You can have it open freely. See, they're letting their faith be stronger than their fear. How many of us in this building can say the same thing? Now, I'm not trying to say this to discourage you, but to encourage you. You know, God has a promise for each and every one of us. God has a path that he wants us to walk in faith. And when we put our faith in him, we will do amazing things for him. But you know, there might be some people in here, your fear has stopped you living out the call of God has over your life. I want to encourage you, take this time now. We're going to come to a time of communion in a moment. Take this time, speak with God, commune with him, get onto the right path again. And maybe for some of you, I don't know where you're at. I don't know every single one of you by heart. I probably know most of your names, but that's about as much as it goes. I don't know where you're at, but actually, I know that God knows where you're at. And I want to give you this opportunity. If you have made a commitment before or never made a commitment before, now is the time to go, you know what? I want to live a life of faith and not fear. I want to follow Jesus and see all that he has for me in my life. This is that moment to do that. And if you choose to do that right now, as we take the drinks and the bread, that's great. We will have a time to that. And just come and let me know that you made that decision. That would be really encouraging for me. If no one else, just come and tell me. That would be really encouraging to know that someone took that on heart. I tried to always live my life in that way. As a 14-year-old young man, I was placed, my calling upon my life. I was seeing a vision of myself standing in gold armor on the top of a hill with nothing but darkness around me. And the Lord was sending me down to pull people out. That was a vision that was placed over my life at 14. I know why God gave it me at 14. Because I'm a slow learner. And it took me till I was 25 to figure out exactly what it meant. Do you know? But actually, because of the fear of not wanting to, of wanting to fit in with my crowd and the fear of not wanting to stand out, that took so long for me to step into the calling I had for my life. If I'd have started that at 14, where would my friends be right now? Would I have set the culture? I don't know. And that's not for me to know. That's for God to know. But I know I'd have made a difference. And so rather than maybe sitting here going, oh, but I just need to wrestle with that. I just need to, do you know what? Just do it. Just step out in faith. Step out upon the water and see where God leads you. I really want to encourage you today to do that. So we're going to come to a time of communion. And I just want you to know that this is usually the point where it's a space of reflection, and we're going to allow for that space, but also a time to just really commune with God one-to-one personally and seek all that he has for you. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've been walking in faith, and that's great. It doesn't mean you start walking. It means you push harder. You go in harder. You go in faster. You go in stronger today. I want you all to leave this building energized and revitalized for all that God has for you. And if you haven't, then come and we'll pray and we'll seek that for your life. I really mean that. I will stay here till it's 10 o'clock tonight and pray for every single one of you if that's what it needs. Because I believe that as a church, if we move together in faith, we will see great things happening in Warwick and the surrounding areas. I believe that. I really believe that.